Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Sunday morning service in South Carolina for the Fishermen Ministry. Let us praise and worship the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord, as we do every Sunday, we've gathered in your name, and we offer our worship unto you. We offer our praise, and you said that you would inhabit our praises, and we need you, Lord. Please meet us here, and Father, we just lift up your name, and for our brothers and sisters that are struggling physically and in any way, we lift them up in Jesus' name. Amen.
Deliverer, in whom shall I trust? Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. Trust, praise the name of Jesus.
One more time.
Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. In trust, praise the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord. That's right, praise the name of Jesus. He's your rock. He's your fortress. He's your deliverer. On him shall you trust. And if that's not the case, that should be your prayer. In that you can find strength. You can find strength in him. That's where we need to be. I want everybody to turn over to Matthew 16. I'm going to start reading somewhere around 24. But while y'all are turning, I wanted to say good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to all of those of you that are here and online. It's good to see y'all. I'm going to probably start at 21. So Matthew 16, verse 21. So I want to get to 24, but 21 kind of gives you a little background, sort of. But hey, praise God. Let's read. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Then said Jesus unto his disciples, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." What are the things that you savor? Do you savor those things that are of God? Are you holding on to some of those things of this world? Do you think somehow in your head, "Oh yeah, I'm a sinner and things are bad, but you know, this little thing here, I mean, this must be good. Maybe I'll hang on to that, but I'll look to get rid of the rest." I mean, that's just a bunch of malarkey. The terms of being a Christian, he says over here in 24, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Did we hear that right? Yeah, that's what it says. Can the Lord lay down such a big charge? I mean, I know that I have some hard times in my life, but there's some things there, man. I really like them. They kind of make me feel good. He can't mean to get rid of all of it, can he? It just can't be the case. Well, he can, and he does ask each and every one of us to do just that. And there's a reason for it. There's a big reason for it. If Jesus is going to save the man must be saved from himself. Do you see what I'm saying? It's that himself which has enslaved and corrupted the man. If you want to be free of that, you need to trust him and believe him, believe his word, and get free of yourself. Deliverance from that self only comes from denial of the self. You want to kill a thing, you starve a thing. If you're not starving that thing, you ain't killing it. You're not denying it. You're not seeking him. You're not seeking his life. No man can do this in his own strength. No man. No man can shed those chains that the self has bound him up in. But through Jesus, you can. He's made a way out. He's at hand. Cast all your cares upon him because he careth for you. That way has been made. It has been done. You want to be free of sin, death, and corruption? Choose him. Trust him. Believe him. Deny that old self. Deny that sin that so easily besets us. If you get to that point, you'll have that deliverance. And you'll be free to move forward in him. Amen?
Praise God. Good morning, everybody. Scott, I appreciate that word. It's a good word. During the course of last week, we've had occasion to be out and about in traffic. And It occurs to me, don't encourage me now. It occurs to me that in my life, all the times that I wanted to be invisible, it never worked out that way. When I didn't have the schoolwork, I wanted the teacher to forget that I was in the room. I wanted to be invisible. When I'm at work and the boss calls on me to train somebody, I wanted to be invisible. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. However, the places I wanted to be invisible, I wasn't. And where I wanted to be seen, I was invisible. Like driving. I've had, 7 or 8 different car colors across time, and I noticed that when I'm in them, nobody sees them. The contradiction to that in Scripture is everything is naked and open to the God with whom we have to do. And His Word is a sword, and it's sharper than any sword you've ever seen, to the discerner of the thoughts and intentions of man. Holds us to account. One of the songs we're talking about me, since it isn't all about me, and this is not particularly elevating to me, I'm guilty of, far from what some may perceive, guilty of assuming that everybody is at least like me, and that if I'm getting a thing, they're getting a thing. And the truth of the matter is, not the case. That's one of those things I need to be relying on the Lord for input, discernment, and what people are saying for input and discernment. Because that's my way, and my way is not His way. His way, in the natural, and I can tell you, that the very suggestion that I deviate from my way brings up rebellion in my heart. It's the flesh does not want to submit to the ways of the Lord. Yeah, rebuke that and then just cast it, choose to cast it off and walk on without giving heed to that rebellion. That rebellion will kill you. Even if it's over something simple. It really comes down to the Lord's way. And, we've been there before, but John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And everything we're talking about here is what His way is. He is the way, and His way matters. It's the way the Lord does things. And He doesn't do them because they please us. He does them because it pleases Him. If you're fortunate enough to be pleased by what He's doing, that's a good thing. Unfortunately, that's not in here, naturally. We have to work to overcome what's in here naturally, so we can partake of what He's trying to do for us and through us for other people. And so much of that requires a daily rejection of the presumptiveness of my ability. It's not about my ability, it's about his. It's not about what I do, it's about what he has done. It's about how good Jesus is. About how complete what he has done is. How powerful that is. What a deliverance that is. And in the majesty and divinity that is in him, there is also that admonition in Peter to cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. That he, the divine and holy Jesus Christ, creator, should pause at all in his considerations and have me matter to him is more than I can fathom. But that's what his word says. Now, the only way to have that make a difference for you is to have that humiliate you and go to him and cast, admit you have the cares and cast them on him. And then turn away praising him. He has taken those away. There's no obstacle now to you being able to serve him in power. And speak his truth. Minister his word to people. Minister life into bodies of death. To be partaking of everything that is in Jesus Christ, not because I'm good or because I've arrived, but because he loves the people. And it's his way to have us minister that truth in that power and love. Not thinking about ourselves first, but thinking about them first. As Jesus did for us. I was looking through some other stuff. Let me see. Let's go to where I paraphrase. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword piercing, even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's been there. You're not a special unit that's experiencing stuff that's never been experienced before. You're accountable for receiving and acknowledging the truth of his word and understanding his compassion for you is that he has been there. There's no new experience under the sun that he has not experienced for you and come through it without sin. That is our hope. Not in our sinlessness, in his. That he was able to come through it. That is our deliverance and our salvation. Don't wallow in cares, as we are prone to do, to get attention and sympathy and empathy from other people. That doesn't make you any better off at all. Cast those cares on him and receive his truth. That ministers life and power and kingdom principles and understanding his ways It gives wisdom and discernment abundant as he is the one who gives that out. And it's not because you're right or you're good. It's because he's right and he's good. And he wants to give these things to you. But if you want to be all cared up and bound up by stuff you don't have any control over, if you're a drama queen, king, you like the attention, listen, there's other ways of getting attention. If you stand out in your belief of the Word of God and expectation and presumption that he telling the truth, you're going to stand out to people. And that ought to be more than you can stand. It'll certainly separate those who are interested in receiving from those who are not. Won't make it real hard to tell who you need to be ministering to. They'll peel off just as fast as they came together. The Lord's good, but you'll never know how good he is until you receive his word and believe what he said. And this is the testimony of him saying that so that you can learn his ways and how it can profit you as you minister his grace and mercy and love to those he sends your way. This is our job. He's outfitted us to do that which he wants us to do. He's furnished us in every good thing. Receive it, believe it, and walk it. And I got four fingers pointing back at me. You know, when they were describing to me how they're going to do the surgery, I wanted to become invisible again for about 2 or 3 weeks. If they were just going to cut on me and do some poking around in there and sucking out and cutting, and that'd be great. The dehumanizing way in which they're going to do this surgery, I cannot. I'll tell it to you after the service if you don't know. But you know what? Not about me. It's about how good the Lord is, and I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord because he's good. And his mercy and his grace and his love do not change or vary one iota from generation to generation. It's just as strong now as it was in 30 AD, 40 AD. It's just as powerful as it was. Receive him and partake of all that he has for you that the Father has given unto him to give to us. Because that is love. That is preference. The preference is for you to get this stuff and run with it. I am done.
Jesus Christ.
because of what the Lord has done for us. Give praise.
Well, good morning, everybody. Well, praise the Lord. So what we got is, we got a few, the Lord's good, amen. And the Lord has a way, amen. And we were, it's kind of interesting as we were talking with the, you know, we had a little Bible study last night with the kids, and it just brought up the opportunity that we have to serve Jesus Christ, which is every day and it's always before us, and the lessons that He has for us and for us to walk in His way is right there all the time. It's right there all the time. And one of the things that happens and why that people get in so much trouble, and you've seen it with the children of Israel over and over and over again, is because they go off their own idea, they go off in presumption, and they go get killed. I mean, it happened many, many, many times. They go off what they think is right. They lean on their own understanding, and then they don't trust in the Lord. They trust in their own understanding, and then they turn around and are deceived to the point that they think that their own understanding is of God, and it has nothing to do with them at all. And see, that's where we get in trouble, folks, is it not? Now, I'm not saying don't step out in faith in the thing, but always get that thing checked out, and don't presume you're always right. And see, we have that availability around us, and it's a praise the Lord. You know, Paul, you were talking about making assumptions, Man, that gets us in trouble, doesn't it? Gets us in trouble all the time. We go around assuming we're right, don't ever talk to anybody. Then this man of God comes down, you talk with him just for a little bit, and then all of a sudden you realize how wrong you were. You're going, oh my goodness. Will I ever get this right? I mean, but praise the Lord is because we have authorities in the Lord that we can go and talk to all the time. We can consistently get this thing checked out, so praise God. But the point that I wanted to go to is in the point of His grace is there. What does it say? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, all those good things that Paul talking about, they're right there for you. But see, we were talking also about it being about who? Him. About Him. And Paul, you're up here and you're talking about because He loves the people. But you know what? He loves you too. See, He loves you too. And the opportunity, we have His way all the time before us. And it's not like that. It's not even hard for us to see if we're in the wrong or if we're going off our, leaning off of our own understanding. It's really not far from us. I mean, we could really simply look in the scripture, go about our day, and compare what we're doing, what we think, with what the scripture says. If it's not what the scripture says, man, cast it down. Don't partake. Don't have nothing to do with that, because there's nothing there for you. There's nothing there for you. What's there for you is in the Lord's way. All right, so we have in the scripture, and we can look through the epistles. We have one example. I mean, I was talking with just the children right there. What's the, where is that shirt that you had on, Natalie? He had a white shirt and had a scripture on the back, and it was Ephesians. What Ephesians verse was that? Ephesians 6:1. Why don't you read that verse out to me if you don't have it? Because this is a simple thing. And she's getting there. And I believe it's what? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Is that what it is? I'll just go ahead and say it. But praise the Lord. That, just that right there is opportunity. You were talking about casting all things down, Scott. Denying yourself and grabbing the good things that the Lord has for you. Well, we have that opportunity all the time. I mean, see, just that phrase, Lord, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Simple. Mom, dad comes in, says, clean the room. You put down what you want, what you desire to do. You cast that down and you go clean the room. Now, just in that one little area, we can think in our mind, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I love the Lord. But then when we go, I don't want to clean my room. Goes, I want to play with my toys. You're not loving the Lord with the agape love. You're not loving the Lord with the agape love at all. You're loving yourself. You're not preferring Him. And what He would have you to do over yourself. See, because look, if you trust the Lord, you believe what His Word says. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So obey your parents. If you trust the Lord and believe that He's going to give you that which you need to fulfill that which it is, and you can walk in His victory, you're going to go and obey your parents. It's a simple thing. And then we can go to wives and husbands. When you go to the wife and the husband, it says, what does it say? And then also in Ephesians. It should be in Ephesians. Let me turn to Ephesians. And it says in Ephesians 5:22, it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Whoa. Wait a second. Wife, I want you to go do such and such and such and such. Well, that's not what I want to do. That's not what I had in mind. Or you turn around and judge him because he's a freaking jerk. Well, let me tell you the news. Men are jerk. I ain't going to change, woman. But if you trust and you love the Lord, you're going to submit unto Him. What's that? Well, of course they have the office. I mean, that's the point, right? Because the Lord's good. We're not. He's good. It's about His way. Now, that's what the Scripture says, doesn't it? There's really no way around it. And you were just reading in Scripture this morning that the Lord is the way. What was it? 14, John 14, 6. Somebody read that to me if they would, please. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But by me is what the Scripture says. Forgive me there. See, this is a part of His way. And see, what we want to do, we lean on our understanding and say, well, because that guy is a jerk, or that guy is so-and-so, or that guy has this issue, or that guy has that issue, or that guy is this, we think, oh, we're all of a sudden just an excuse from the Lord's way. But it doesn't work that way. And see, then we go run off in presumption and everything kind of falls apart around us and ain't nobody's fault but your own. Because see, look, if you trust the Lord, you serve the man, you submit unto him, you do what the Word says. Does He not honor His Word? Do you believe His Word? What it comes down to, do you actually trust and believe His Word? You ready to take up your cross? Deny yourself and take up your cross. And see, we're talking about the Lord's good. He's been tempted just like every single way that we've been tempted. It's that we don't understand. He understands fully. He understands fully. I mean, what did He do? He went, remember when He was ministering and He was like, 12 years old? His parents turned around and left Him back like 3 days. He's preaching in the synagogue at 12 years old. And then when they do, they go and blame Jesus. Where you been? We've been looking for you. What did He go do? I must be about my father's business. But then what did he do? He went home and he started serving his parents. He submitted unto his parents. That was the way of the Lord. It wasn't that Jesus had some standard that he didn't have to stick to and he's expecting you to. No. In fact, he is the standard, and we don't hit that mark with a buckshot, man. But he's sitting there paving a way for you, for his gospel to be preached and for a provision unto you. Where did you ever see it where the woman in the scriptures submitted unto their husbands, submitted unto the Lord, and it did not work out for them? Never. Not once. And it didn't matter whether the man was wrong or right. It didn't matter. Because it's about the Lord and his way. Well, we're going to skip a few verses down. Next. We're 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, here's the husband's part. Now, as husbands, our job is to be prophet, priest, and king of his household. But we get caught up in wanting to do our own thing so much that you're willing to just let the woman do what they want so you can go do what you want. And then you turn around and expect that, hey, things go haywire in your household. You don't even know it because you're so consumed by yourself and what you want to do. Things go haywire, then everything's out of control. And then you go, why is this happening? And then you turn around and instead of being that one like David, you become the one like Saul, my darn wife. When it was your responsibility. That's your office. You're to know what's going on in the household and interceding for your children and your wives and loving them and giving them the word. But see, what happens is sometimes they might not like the word that you give them. So you want to give, you know, just give them anything they need, not to get them all puffed up and angry and pissed off and judging you. And women, when you think you talk about submitting unto your husbands, it's actually when a lot of times what happens is when the husband starts walking right in the Lord, you start getting really pissed. Because all of a sudden, yeah, I see Melanie laughing over here. Because all of a sudden, they're faced with choices. And the husband says, make a choice. And we are going to serve the Lord. And the woman's going, but no, I was in charge for so long. What happened? I was able to manipulate and control the situation to bend it the way I wanted it to do, and that's not working anymore. So they actually get more pissed off because they don't get their way. And the husband, when he comes to the knowledge of Christ and recognizes his office, is actually starts taking up that responsibility that they're in, whether they like it or not, and they take that responsibility. They usually go and look and go, what a freaking mess, man. I didn't even see how big of a mess this has gotten to. And, you know, he's probably already done his part, Mel. I'm kind of using Scott and Mel because she's getting a kick over this over here. And, you know, Scott's already done his part where he's like, all right, Lord, I have screwed up. He's done his repenting, and now he's taking on that responsibility. And I don't know the perfect situation, so I mean, using it for the sake of service here, so. Oh, well, good. I mean, Mel's over here saying you're right on so far. No, praise the Lord. Well, Scotty, get an oh yeah from Scotty. All right. Praise God. It's two witnesses there. That works for you. Satisfied there, Polly? Praise the Lord. All right. Husband loves your wife, Jesus Christ also. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it, cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. And that's just an important role. You become married, become one. You become one. And in this sense, we're just talking about loving your wives. That's not just to go and tell them and make them feel good. He's talking about loving your own selves. Remember how David's talking about we love God, love one another, but what love are you loving yourself with? Do you go just feed the flesh everything it needs? Or do you actually have an agape love for your own soul to go immerse yourself in the Word to get right with Him? The Lord, because it's good for your soul and that you may go forward in Him. And you recognize without Him, you can do nothing and there's nothing but death and destruction without Jesus. And so you go study the Word and you get in the Word and you get under discipleship and you get in the place where you care for your soul and the eternalness of it. The salvation, that would be the word. Is that how you're loving the wives there, husband? It's a responsibility. This isn't no little joke. There's an accountability in that. Now look, if you give your wife everything, you give your children everything they need so that they can move forward in Christ and they choose not to, man, that's not on you. But if you will hold that which the Lord has for them, that's on your head. See, that's on your head, how that turns out. So it's a serious role. Very serious role. But we're going to go back to the Lord honoring His way. Honoring His way. So I want to kind of go down also. We can go to 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, it's an interesting thing here. It says, children, obey your parents, what? In the Lord. You know what? I am a child of God. I have a parent in the Lord. 34 years old, have a parent in the Lord. I might be 55, still have that parent in the Lord. But see, the Lord honors faith in Him. The Lord honors obedience and trust and faith in Him. So if I am serving and I obey my parent in the Lord with no matter what, because I trust the Lord, it's not going to work bad for me because the Lord will honor that. Just the same way what I've talking about children to your parents and wives to your husbands and husbands to your wives. I mean, all these things He honors. And see, it's not all about what you're able to do. It's about what He's able to do. You just say, yes, Lord. You deny yourself. You go forward in Him. And I'm going to hit one more thing about servants, and that's 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. So let's say I have a boss that's an absolute unbeliever or has no thought of even trying to get the job done and could care less. Does it matter? No. No, it could be your obedience that actually turns that master unto Jesus Christ. Either 2 things will happen. is going to minister unto that master, or the Lord probably put him out of the way. Who knows? Doesn't really matter, because he's going to honor the obedience. He's going to honor his way. And we have that example all the time, man. We think this thing's right. We go off our own understanding. We have all these things, and we think that we are come into a good place. But when the thing really comes to bear, all you got to do is your day-by-day life. When you recognize that, oh, clean my room. Oh, my goodness. Oh, wait a second, Lord. That's not of you. Lord, I have an attitude. Lord, this is not of you, and this is not loving you. Lord, help me. I give that attitude. Lord, help Christ strengthen me to do thy will, because I'm having a hard time with it. And Lord, I'm going to trust that you're going to answer that prayer. I'm going to go forward, and no matter how I feel, no matter what's going on, I'm going to go and do that thing. Watch the Lord answer. Same with if we go to John, and this is really what a place I wanted to get to. It says in John 4, I'm going to start at 20. It says, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. Jesus gives us a commandment. Love God, love one another. With that agape love, that preference. Preferring the Lord over all things. Putting him in first in your life and preferring him second. When you can do that, then you can love your brother. And you prefer them over your own self. And it's really just a test. That's the litmus test. I mean, you can see it right there, man. If you're hating your brother, you're not loving God. You're loving yourself. You can't love your wife, you're not loving God. You're loving yourself. When your boss, authority, whoever the case may be, tells you to go do something and you don't go and be obedient to it, you're loving, you drop what you're doing, prefer that thing over what you want to do, you're not loving the Lord, you're loving yourself. You know, it's an interesting thing. I think it's like the parents when they say, children, obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Yeah, children, obey. And then it's like, fathers, obey your children and the Lord, for this is right. Oh my, what? Huh? But see, if we're going to actually make him Lord, like the song we were singing this morning, that's what we're going to do. And so how can you serve a God you can't see when you can't serve that person that the Lord's put over you? See, it doesn't work that way. And we go off, the goodness of God is right there for you. It's available. His hand is out. What does the scripture say? The Lord is at hand. He's as available to you as your hand is. It's right there. And it's all around you. And the opportunity, as you can see in the things we went over, is all around you every day. 24/7 hours a day. 24 hours a day. 7 days a week. It's right there. And you can partake of that plan. See, he has a plan. We need to get on it. See, and that plan is victorious. That plan is eternal salvation. That plan is for you to partake of, but he can't make you be on it. That's the choice you make. It's a simple choice that you make. And what I was telling the kids and when I was last night is, look, I beg you, just try it. Just try them. Prove them. Put your faith and trust. Put all your eggs in his basket and see what happens. Have we been let down before? by him? No. We've gone on presumption and things went haywire. That wasn't him. You were putting your eggs in your own understanding. But brother, it's humiliating. Well, what does he say? God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. I don't know about you. I don't want God resisting me, but I want the grace of the Lord upon me. And the grace of the Lord is upon me is because it's not because I'm good about anything that I have done or some I earned something. No, it's about him and what he has done. And I just humbled myself and he said, here's the gift. I ran up and grabbed it. And that's available for each and every single one of you. Every single one of you. Don't deny that gift. Don't deny the goodness of the Lord. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up in no matter what situation. Your enemy's not your husband. Your enemy's not your boss. Your enemy's not your brother. The enemy's is within you. It's that old nasty man that you need to kill, crucify, and get shed of. And the Lord's saying, I've given you freedom from it. So take that freedom, partake of his ways, and be a part of his plan. Amen.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is. It is.